What do we find at the intersection of faith and the world? Our new podcast, Crossroads, explores this question in thought-provoking conversations featuring guests from around the world who are seeking to live faithfully in the public square. This is a safe space to discuss politics, technology, and our responsibilities as citizens. Pull up a chair and meet us as we search for a better way forward. Welcome to Crossroads. I'm your host, Joe Nygaard-Owens, and I'm here today with the Dean of the Cathedral, Randy Hollerith. We're here to talk about the theme of our podcast, the intersection of sacred and civic. Randy, it is so good to be here with you.
Oh, Joe, I'm so excited for this. Thank you for all the work you all have been putting into this. And to get it started, we've been thinking about a podcast for a long time. It's so neat to see it hatching, and I'm honored to be the first guest. I hope I don't screw it up.
Oh, I don't think you will. It's really great to be here because you all started talking about this podcast long before I was even on the scene. I've only been here less than 6 months, and this is a conversation you started a couple of years ago. We have an amazing team of folks working behind the scenes to help put this together, brainstorming topics, interviewing guests, all sorts of things.
We're standing in the room looking at us at the current moment.
As the case may be.
Yeah, well, it's exciting that we're doing this. It took a long time for this to become reality, but as we always joke, cathedral time is different from every other time.
Yes. You know? As we're dreaming about podcast topics, we're really looking at this intersection of sacred and civic, which we'll get into a little bit more, but it's really about how we live as people of faith out in the world. How do we take this faith that feels easy and natural inside the church walls and live it out as people where situations can get difficult, where topics seem overwhelming, where we get into disagreements with people that we love? This is where I think this podcast is going to be really helpful.
Amen.
The intersection of sacred and civic. So, Randy, this is a phrase that I've heard you talk about a good bit, but let's unpack it to start out with. What do you mean by sacred, and what do you mean by civic?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We talk about sacred and civic here at the cathedral, and where that comes from is really that one of the original visions of the cathedral was that it was going to be a church built down on the Mall. Pierre L'Enfant had it in his original plans that it would be built down there. And of course, that never happened. We have a separation of church and state. So when the first bishop of Washington decided he wanted to revive that idea, he purchased this land on the highest point of Washington, D.C., with the notion that the cathedral would sort of have a spiritual view over the city. You know, it's the great church on the hill kind of a thing. So when we talk about sacred, we talk about the presence of the holy, the values of our Christian faith, how the values of our faith influences our culture, and even how we function as a nation. And for civic, we think about everything in the broad spectrum. Civic means the political life of the country, especially the political life of Washington, D.C., since we're here. But it also implies what it means to behave in a civic and civil way, and how our values as Christians weigh in on how we ought to treat one another and be with one another, whether we're dealing politically or whether we're just talking day to day.
So often we can think about sacred as something that is set apart, that it's removed from what's around us. And so looking at this intersection of sacred and civic, we're really bringing them together. Not saying that church needs to run public life, but we as people of faith are people of faith in the world.
I think part of what it means to proclaim the gospel as Christians is to speak about the values of what it means to be a Christian and how we're called to behave in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think that has implications not only for people who go to church, but I think it has implications for how we treat one another as a nation. And since this is the national cathedral, it seems to me that one of the most important things we can do is to be a platform and to speak into the larger task of being an American and what that means and how we treat one another, how we act politically, how we think. You know, the gospel has lots of implications. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you can't have Jesus say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, then not seeing those things as having implications for the wider society.
Definitely. Have you had your understanding of sacred and civic shift since you've been here? Or how have you seen it play out?
Yeah, well, I think what's really interesting is that the cathedral has always been a platform, right? It's not only a beautiful place for worship, which is our primary reason for existence, but it's also a platform to speak into the wider culture. So unlike a normal congregation or parish, we have an ability to speak beyond ourselves in ways that other churches don't. Mm-hmm. And so we see a great responsibility to use that appropriately. So it seems to me that the whole idea of what it means to be sacred is reaching beyond the walls of the cathedral.
That's beautiful.
So, you know, Joe, you're fairly new to the cathedral, and it's so great having you around here. But your husband is the dean of a cathedral in Ohio, and you're very, you have a lot of knowledge and experience in congregational life and parish mm-hmm. life. How do you see that what this cathedral does is different from what, say, you all are doing in Cleveland?
There's an immediacy here in D.C. that you don't find the same way out in Ohio or when we were in North Carolina. The pace of life is different here. Things are always happening. And there's this sense that we need to respond and be responsive, be active and proactive in the midst of all that's happening. So you have been very focused this year, this election year, on how can we be in conversation with people we disagree with? How can we bring civility to conversations that are hard? And while that's sort of on the mind out in the country as a whole, it doesn't feel the same pressure out there as it does here. And so I see the cathedral being a leader in that and hopefully spurring conversations out in other parts of the country.
That certainly is a goal. I mean, we want to use what voice we have to see if we can make things better as we move mm-hmm. from now to the election, to the end of the year and the inauguration of whoever wins for the presidency. I think what is as important as who gets elected is how Americans treat one another mm-hmm. and treat the outcome of that election. And so I know what we're trying to do here is to speak into that with some values of loving one's neighbor as oneself, trying to see each person as the beloved child of God. And so all the programming we're doing this year is sort of in that direction. Mm-hmm. But I think what's really important too is that as the cathedral, we're not trying to do any sort of Christian nationalism. You know, this is not trying to merge the church with government. You know, this is the church trying to speak the gospel message into the life of the nation and specifically into the life of Washington, D.C. Sometimes we're a foil. Sometimes we need to be prophetic. Sometimes we're trying to be supportive. But it's not wrapping the church in the American flag or wrapping the government in the cross, so to speak, right?
Right.
We have a different role than that.
I've heard you talk about that the gospel is political but not partisan. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Sure. Yeah, well, that goes back to that whole idea that you can't follow or take seriously the things that Jesus says without it having political implications. Mm-hmm. When Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, when he says, turn the other cheek, or as I said before, love your enemies, all those sorts of things, that has political implications. Mm-hmm. And so whenever you're going to proclaim those things that Jesus says, you're going to have political implications, but that's not Democratic or Republican.
Right.
Right. It's not bound on a platform of a political party. And if it gets to be that way, then I think we've completely headed off in the wrong direction, right? One's God and one's political party should be very different things. Mm. And I think if your God sounds too much like your political party, you're probably getting it wrong.
There's a lot of accuracy in that. One of the things that I think about when I think about the gospel message is Jesus turning over the tables. I think about how the church is called to be countercultural many times, that if we are swimming along in the stream of what the culture around us is saying, that we might have missed some of what Jesus is saying. And one of the messages that I hear in the culture around us is, how does it benefit me? What do I get out of this? How is this going to change my life right now? And I think one of the things that we need to flip is, how does this benefit us? How will this change our world, not just right now, but for the future?
Well, you know, I love the old saying, I can't remember who said it, but the church is the only institution that exists for those who are not yet its members.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That the one of the jobs we have is not about just caring for ourselves and within our own community, but trying to improve the world. So what does it mean for us? Well, I think what it means for us is that whenever we're trying to do good work in the world, or being prophetic, or trying to teach people to honor one another and respect one another and treat one another with dignity, I think that has immense value, not only for the wider world, but for all of us who live together, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no one has better fights than churches.
So true.
So, I mean, you see that in parish life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you end up spending a lot of time and effort trying to build healthy community.
Both healthy community around you in person, and as we have become more and more interconnected globally, building healthy communities in online spaces,
right,
which is where I like to focus. And in our online spaces, it's even harder to bring our best selves because we have this wall of invisibility that, oh, nobody can see me and know what I'm doing, but I'll just lob this comment out there that tends to blow things up.
And yet at the same time, what's been really great about the ministry you're doing is we've also seen, because of all the experience we've had during COVID, is that there can be some real genuine intimacy
mm-hmm.
in the digital space if it's done right.
For sure. And I did online Rite of Reconciliation on Ash Wednesday, and it was one of the most moving experiences I've had. We had the opportunity to meet with people from all over the country as they came and were very vulnerable in this online space. So we talked a little bit about the immediacy of how the civic world impacts us here in DC and how it doesn't feel that intense once you're out of the district. So how do we shine as a beacon for those who are out in the world who don't feel the immediacy of being here in the district?
Well, to a certain degree, what we're trying to do is shorten the distance a little bit, I think, by,
mm-hmm.
you know, really what we're doing is we're talking about values,
mm-hmm.
right? And whether you live in Washington, D.C. or Cleveland or Canada, or, you know, we even have folks from other side of the world,
oh,
Australia,
yeah.
and places like that, the values that we're talking about
right.
are not purely American values, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're Christian values that I think have a lot of power and reach around the country and around the world
mm-hmm.
in their own context, right? I mean,
right.
how we treat one another as the beloved child of God, right? How we
right.
honor one another's differences, how we learn to forgive, how we learn to listen to each other. Those are, you know, those not only are important when you talk about, you know, House and Senate, but they're also important when you talk about families
mm.
or just everyday, you know, everyday existence. How many people in our country are within families where they differ so much politically, they can't even talk to one another.
Right.
So George Washington once said that, and Rochambeau as well, that without the values of religion,
mm-hmm.
the democracy can't stand.
Mm.
And what they meant by that was the values of honor and integrity and love and grace and forgiveness, mm. all those values. And those are universal values.
Right. One thing that we find, not just here locally, but around our country, around our world, is that there is a great level of anxiety that people are experiencing. Tensions are high. How do we speak to that? How do we help to lower that anxiety that folks are feeling around the political climates, no matter where they are?
Mm. Well, I think you know, from my point of view, I think an important way we do that is, you know, we're committed to these ideas of civility and all the values I just talked about,
mm-hmm.
not only in our programs that we offer, but it's a deeply important part of our prayer life, right?
Right.
So the tension's going to rise as we head into this election. There's no two ways around it. It's right. going to happen. And the more we work on trying to lower the temperature through prayer, through conversation, it's going to be jacked right back up again because it's going to be a tough year.
Yeah.
But so what we're trying to do with the little rocks that we're throwing out in the water from the relatively small platform of this cathedral is to constantly go, remember, folks, remember who we are. Remember what we're doing. Remember that we are each Americans and we each are valuable and that we must, you know, must honor that with each other.
Thank you. So what are some of those rocks that we're tossing? We have some amazing programs that are happening this year as we lead up into the election. What are some of them?
Yeah, well, some of them are still in the works, so I can't quite speak to them yet. But for instance, we just had a wonderful program called With Malice Toward None, With Charity for All, Reclaiming Civility in American Politics. And we had the Governor Cox of Utah, who was here with us, who's a staunch Republican, very conservative Republican, and then Governor Moore of Maryland, who's a Democrat, and both, and they have a very close relationship. They have a very powerful friendship. And they were here talking about their friendship and how they honor one another in the midst of their differences.
Right.
And it was amazing to me that like 1,000 people showed up to want to hear this conversation. I think we're really starving for this kind of thing.
We are.
In the country. And they did a beautiful job really talking about it. I encourage people who are listening to go watch it if you haven't had a chance to. And then we had a panel of other folks who from the various parties who were talking about it more in depth. It was a great evening. And coming up here in April, we have Congresswoman Liz Cheney will be with us in conversation with the canon historian, John Meacham, around the work that she's done. And it's called Principles in Politics. So it's I really wanted her to come to be at the cathedral because I think the principled way in which, whether you agree with her or not, the principled way in which she sacrificed much of her own political career to do what she thought was right, the larger calling of our of the integrity of our country, I think it's an important thing to lift up. Because I think we too easily forget or believe that our politics is without integrity or it's without honor or it's without respect. And it's not. There are a lot of good people out there trying to do good work.
Well, thank you for spearheading this program. And we can't wait for the evening with Liz Cheney and John Meacham on April 24th and whatever programs come after that. So as we wrap up today, I want to ask, where do you see hope in the midst of all of this?
We are called to be Easter people.
Yes.
And being an Easter people means that we always see God's love and God's grace winning. That in the end, all of the things, all of the sinful things that we do to one another, all of the problems that we have, all of the issues that we need to take very seriously, that on the other side of that, there's God's grace and God's resurrection. And that, you know, God will never let us go. And in the end, is very simplistically, but I love to say, love wins.
Amen.
Right? So that's where I find hope. I find hope that on either side of our lives, we're bracketed by that. So, our job as Christians is to live into that as much as we can.
Well, thank you, Randy. It has been wonderful sitting down with you this morning as we start to frame our podcast, The Intersections of Sacred and Civic, Crossroads at National.
Thanks, Joe. I'm so excited you're doing these. You're going to have fun having all these conversations.
We are. I've learned so much already in preparation, and I can't wait to talk to lots of other guests. We have another podcast episode dropping in 2 weeks when we start to have the conversation around what does AI mean for us as people of faith.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
It's going to be a good one. I'm Joe Nygaard-Owens. You've been listening to Crossroads from Washington National Cathedral. Until next time, peace be with you.